Die when I may, I want it said of me, by they who know me best, that I always plucked a thistle and planted a flower when I thought a flower would grow. Abraham Lincoln.
A penny for your thoughts, presented by Lincoln Heating and Air. For heating or air conditioning assistance, call 359-1985 or visit our website, lincolnheating.com. I'm Robert Quirk, owner of Lincoln Heating and Air, and my pledge to you is to make every penny count.
Brought to you by A Master Mechanic in Sparks. Any time of the year, make sure you can just turn that key and go. Trust the team at A Master Mechanic for bumper to bumper peace of mind. 95 East Glendale in Sparks. Sunshine, 50 degree weather, a little on the cool side, but certainly calmer than the last couple of days. And tomorrow, pretty much the same. Then we warm up for the midweek. Tomorrow at 9, Brett Baer, 99.1 FM Talk.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local every Saturday night to noon. My apologies, dear listener. We love our listeners, and I neglected to take any of these phone calls that came in for Derek Lee. So I asked Derek to stick around and answer these questions because our listeners are all important to us. And we're going to start with Joe calling from Reno for you, Derek. Derek, of course, folks, if you just joined us, the man behind BrainHealthFormulas.com. Joe calling from Reno. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Derek. I have three quick questions. One was, you mentioned something about prunes. I missed that one. That's one question, good or bad. The other two questions is glucosamine and chondroitin. They call it like a joint juice. I get it from Costco. What does Derek say about glucosamine and chondroitin? And also, I've got a prescription drug I got back from my VA doctors, omeprazole for acid reflux. What does Derek say about those two items?
I'll start with the prune question. That was me. There was an article that was the six so-called bad carbs that are good for your brain, that support brain health. And it was potatoes, prunes, yes, they're good, honey, whole grain bread, brown rice, and enriched grains. Derek, you take the other two.
The glucosamine chondroitin, if you notice a benefit from it, I'm not opposed to it. I have taken it for months upon months upon months, and I did not notice any benefit from it. And I forgot, what was the other question you had about?
It's called omeprazole. It's an acid reflux prescription I get from the veterans, although they do sell that over-the-counter as well.
Yes, I took that for 20 years, to be honest with you, Joe, and it's a proton pump inhibitor, and it does have negative effects with the intestinal tract and with the brain. It acts as a steroid in a way, and there will be repercussions the longer you take it, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Could it lead to the cause of dementia and or Alzheimer's? Senility or what?
That is a wonderful question. I'm trying to think about what I experienced when I stopped taking it. If I remember correctly, when I stopped taking it, there was almost cravings to get back on it. I wouldn't say addiction per se, but there's definitely because I could not deal with the massive amount of heartburn. And it reduced the heartburn so much that I lived off of it for 20 years, but I know that it affected how my brain was functioning also when I stopped taking it. And that was really the drive for me to stop taking it. The product that I've just put together called Acromancia, it will have an effect. It will reduce the amount of heartburn that you have. And what I did was to mitigate heartburn in the meantime was use baking soda and water, and that does a really good job.
Joe, I appreciate your call. We got to go to Deborah now, calling from South Lake Tahoe. Deborah, you're on with me, John Potter, and Derek Lee. I'm so glad you called. Go ahead.
Hi, John Potter and Derek Lee. I wanted to know the phone number again. Please tell me so I can get a hold of you that way.
775-634-7789. Yes.
Thank you so much. I love your products.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Deborah. Derek, thanks for sticking around extra time. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Awesome. Thank you, John.
Now get out of here.
Okay.
John, is that how you make friends, or is that how you make enemies?
You're a heckler. You're not a producer. Okay, now open topic, 884-9910. Don't ask me about the brain. I'm not the person to ask. But Derek Lee is going to be back with us next Saturday here on Life and Local. The show is called The Weekend. And just remember, folks, the man who drives half asleep is now buried 6 feet deep. Mary Wink Motel. And when it comes to savings, the big, safe, friendly way, it's Nevada Savings every time. Sorry. Sudden flashback right there.
As soon as you said that Mary Wink liner, I remembered that it was the little signs on 395 northbound, old 395, coming out the north end of Washoe Valley into north South Reno.
You're not that old.
I think those signs were up there still until about 10 years ago.
Were they? Wow. Okay, well, I avoid South Reno at all costs, so I miss that. But I remember them in the 70s big time. Okay, so anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in. I hope you're doing well. I hope the day is starting well for you. And if you were on time to work this week, kudos to you. This is a pet peeve, or not pet peeve, but a very important thing to me, is punctuality in our society. It's a value that we sort of are turning loose of. It's kind of like not a priority, it seems. It's maybe somewhat denounced. So let's put the focus, you know, instead people are putting the focus on what, DEI, and what do I get out of this? I don't know. I'm not sure it's a good thing. I may not be the one to talk, but I've been late to things now and then. But in our lives, in the workplace, being able to be in the right time at the right place, you got to be at work each morning at such a time. The kids have to be at school or at the bus stop a certain time each morning. I just want to say that I'm proud of you folks for just doing what people take for granted, being there at the right time. It's easier said than done a lot of times, right? Military vets, they know. They really drill this in at basic training. You got to be at the right place at the right time. We show up for work on time, and that reliability on our part makes us useful to employers and brings us a little satisfaction. When you do the right thing, you feel good. When you know you can be counted on, you feel good. So all you good people who got up in time, who got the kids off on time, who got everybody where they needed to be on time, I appreciate you. And I applaud you and what you accomplished this week in one of the cornerstones of success. You find that life works when you work the schedule. Military folks, like I said, they especially know this. You are in the right place at the right time when you can depend on yourself, when others can depend on you, and you become more useful in life, and life goes a whole lot better. Though always being on time was not appreciated at my previous job. You know, management did not think it was really important, believe it or not. But being on time is certainly valued here, and it has been most of my life. And my dad had a saying that my dad had a lot of sayings, I know. Here's one that that I recall a lot, and that is early on time, valued and kind. Arrive late, left behind. To him, on time was like 10 minutes early. And that always stuck with me, and it usually pays off more than folks realize. 884-9910 is our number. I'm going to talk about something I did not mention last Saturday. Well, actually, now I know why. It happened Monday this week, and it's about a gentleman by the name of Lou Conter, and I want to tell that story, and we'll also take calls at 884-9910. We're going to take a break right now, though. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:15.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk. KKFT.
News. Talk. Truth.
Would it kill that manufacturer of avocados to put a different toy inside? I mean, I literally have 50 wooden balls already. Yes, internet meme. But it's funny. 11:18, I'm John Potter, live and local each Saturday, 9 to noon. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Okay, something very important happened this week, at least to me and to many, many other people I know. A gentleman by the name of Lou Conter perished on April 1st. Mr. Conter was the last survivor of the USS Arizona, that last man who was on that ship on Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, when it came under attack by the Empire of Japan, a day of infamy, as President Roosevelt told us. He was the last witness of what was done to his fellow crewmates, his brothers on the Arizona. He has passed, and so it is soon with his entire generation. The number of World War II veterans, of course, anymore, is extraordinarily small now. Now the old men and women who were in the service, the war veterans who are now grandparents and great-grandparents, were the folks who went to Vietnam. But there are a fair number who knew World War II people. One of my stepfathers was a World War II guy. Sam was a chief petty officer on the USS Bunker Hill, which got into some rough battles in the Pacific until it was destroyed in a kamikaze attack in World War II. Sam fared pretty badly there, but he survived. And I'll tell you what his biggest regret was. He was coming home back from the war. He was healing on the ship, coming back to the U.S., and a gentleman passed him by on the deck and said, "How are you doing?" And he didn't realize it at the time, but that was the surgeon who saved his life. And he would say long after, "You know, I made a stupid mistake. I never stopped to thank him for saving my life." But anyway, he lived for many years without his vision, long enough to be around for my wife until he passed some years ago. I never met him, but I've seen her pictures, and he looked like a million bucks in his time. But psychologically, like thousands of others, from what I know, I don't think he ever really got over the experience. But I think that the responsibility of trying to remember and trying to tell others what it was like to know people who fought in World War II, that falls on the rest of us, so that our young folks today and future generations will have known these people too and remember a bit of what they told us. I think passing that on, you know, telling our grandchildren and children, making it a part of conversation sometimes, especially if it involves a part of your family, a member of your family, pass along those stories. It's a debt that we owe, I think, to those who have fought for us. And as each generation of war veterans takes its leave from life, we need to remember as long as we can. The baton, if you will, is passed. And, you know, in another 50 or 70 years, we'll be saying goodbye to the global war on terror patriots, the great service and sacrifice of any person who served in any war in any era is something to be remembered and respected. And if we have little pieces that make it real, we should hold on to what they endured and what they did for our country by keeping those stories alive, especially within our families. We have a dwindling number of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam veterans right now. And a lot of folks probably thinking right now their fathers or fathers-in-law right now, if I know my audience. But it's something that's close to my heart, too. You know, back in World War II times, it was a different country here for sure, right, back then? My dad told me that when the Japanese attacked us, many, many young Americans at the time, they didn't get drafted. They went to the recruiting center and signed up right away. And Dad told me, interesting story here, he said a lot of these young people were sportsmen. They were hunters and fishermen. And when they went in to sign up in their teens and their 20s, very naive, they said to the recruiting officer, they said, we have rifles. We have rifles to bring with us. And they were told, well, you know, thank you, but, you know, we have rifles that we're going to provide to you. And the point of that story is that that was the spirit of young American men at the time. Not only were they willing to volunteer for service, they were willing to bring their own weapons to bear against the enemies of the United States. And that is a huge miss in our country these days, much as I still love it. But it was a great symbol of patriotism, you know, stories like that. And they should be told, right? And I hope that as years pass within your family, that those stories, like my wife has, never gets lost. Like, you know, when you look at pictures with them, who's that person in the uniform? You know, write the names on the back, write maybe an essay if you know what they did, where and why, and save that information for future generations, because usually, hopefully, those pictures will be passed on for generations. And everyone who's in your family, everybody who's in the heritage of your family deserves to know. And those who served their generation separate us from the achievements and the personalities of our family's forebearers. Anyway, I'm getting too deep in this. I'm going to get off my lecture podium on that. It's something that struck me when I heard that the last surviving crew member of the USS Arizona died this week. I think it was like 102. Onto another pedestal. I want to read an email that I got after, let me see here. I think it was one of my inflation or government debt rants on a previous show. And it reads, Mr. Potter, we are $35 trillion in debt, $100 billion a month in interest in that debt. I'm a bit scared of the future. The country is bankrupt. They will not shrink the size of government. They will not cut spending, and they will not cut waste. It's unsustainable, and I've never seen it like this. I'm 66 years old, and the system is going to break. That is from Richard. Richard, I think you're right. National debt as a percentage of GDP is twice what it was in most of the 1990s, not that long ago, 25, 30 years ago. And folks Richard's age were alive back then, so this change is very alarming to them, as it is to me. What's the way out from such obscene overspending and debt? The only way out is bankruptcy, right? Bankruptcy that could quickly slide to war as people come to collect their money. The debt is the largest single existential threat facing the United States right now. Yet the news media ignores it because it doesn't fit their pro-Democrat politics, and neither political party seems to give a damn. My fellow Republicans will give it a little bit of lip service, but you couldn't look at spending by Republicans in the White House or in Congress and tell very much difference from spending by Democrats when they're in charge. There are some Republican politicians who will say something about it, and oh, sure, they're going to throw a hissy fit when it's time to pass a spending bill, but they never have any large mass of members to do anything about it. And the thing is that it works for everybody except the future, right? If you're going to die next month or later on this year, this deficit spending is a great idea because Democrats, they claim power in votes by giving away money, right? You vote Democrats because you want a check and they give you one. And our Republicans, we say, oh, we want tax cuts. We want defense. Those are laudable things, but they both cost a lot of money. And the welfare and the redistribution of wealth, that costs a lot of money. Both parties have figured out how they want to spend our money. Republicans, tax cuts and defense. Democrats, more welfare and lately wars and more welfare and bailouts and checks for immigrants and some sex change operations, right? But neither party, bright as they are, has figured out how to pay for it. And neither party, if we're honest, seems to give two hoots in hell how to pay for it. And the thing is, if I'm in Congress today, that's fine. I get reelected. But there's going to come a day of accounting. And it literally could mean the collapse of the United States as a sovereign nation. And the most foreboding thing is, should there be a war, we are dead where we sit, because in addition to manufacturing, which we don't really have like before, in addition to stockpiled munitions that we no longer have after sending them out to Ukraine, to win a war, you have to have credit. Credit is what has gotten us through every war that we've won. And now we don't have all that credit because we pissed it away. And so we're sitting here in a pretty bad situation, and everything that... Richard said in his email is correct. You can email me. It's renoman47@yahoo.com. I was 47 years old when I, that's why. Or of course, text us anytime, 775-884-9910. Also a number to call in. We may take some calls after Fox News. Hopefully one of those calls is yours. So I'll be back after Fox News for the final half hour. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:30.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1.
And 92.3.
FM Talk.
John Potter, live and local, 884-9910 is our number. Two things here that just happened that raises some eyebrows out there for sure. This comes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We could see a big sale in Nevada, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal reports here, could the non-gaming Trump International Hotel just off the Strip be sold to generate revenue for Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's enormous civil fraud penalties? The people closest to the property's ownership, Trump and business partner Phil Ruffin, are not saying. And lodging industry experts say they haven't heard anything about a potential sale of the 64-story, 1,282-suite property, which opened in 2008. Well, okay, this is one of those news stories that's kind of invented. They just bring up this question, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal is just wondering. But it's a fair wondering, I think, because that was the first thing I thought of when he was ordered to, sell Trump Tower in New York City. And I thought, wow, could this extend out to the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas? I don't know. So, yeah, that's a big deal right there. Also a big deal, and this will get a lot of reaction, I'm sure, Joe Rogan, podcaster, well, he not only says Israel, he said Israel's committing a genocide in Gaza, but now he says that a key Bible prophet was actually just high on drugs and explaining some of the way off things you find in the Old Testament. Joe Rogan says, well, the prophet was high on drugs. This guy is, I think he is the only case. He's the only example we have of a celebrity who is untouched by the cancel culture. This is typical stuff that this guy does on his podcast, but he can't be canceled. He's impervious to it. I've never seen this before. Cancel culture is a huge thing that the news media does not talk about. The worst thing you can be to be cancel culture friendly is to be a white male over 60 and heterosexual. I'm 0 for 4. It's like, and I felt this for the last 10 years, I felt that, oh my gosh, I better be good because they're trying to get rid of me. And I never felt that way before. The others have the power. They get people fired and off shows and banning them from having new ones. And I feel I was cancel cultured from my last job because they knew my politics. You know who can't be canceled? You can never be canceled for being too woke. It never happens. It never will. And who are these people who say cancel culture is not a real thing? Just among talk show hosts and comedians who've gotten fired or lost gigs for exercising their freedom of expression, the toll is high. J.K. Rowling, Roseanne Barr, Louis C.K., the Dilbert cartoonist. Boy, you can't find that cartoon anywhere anymore, can you? Reno's own Gina Carano. You know, back when she was dismissed from the Mandalorian TV show for putting up a Facebook post, which was tame, in my opinion, I said on my Facebook, cancel culture claims a Reno celebrity. And for the first time in 20 years, I got called into the Channel 2 manager's office who told me, you said cancel culture. There's no cancel culture. That's a Republican term. And then apparently I got canceled. My take is everybody makes mistakes. People are worth more than their worst actions, and the punishment should fit the crime. People are capable of growth and change, and they deserve second chances. And it's okay to have different opinions to others. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Let's turn it over to John, who's calling from Reno. John, I appreciate the fact that you called. Welcome.
Actually, I'm Joan.
Joan, I'm sorry, Joan.
Yeah, John, I've talked to you before, and I just wanted to say about everybody's so, you know, down and out about the world and the country right now, and I think people have their own opinions, but my opinion is we got to get Trump back in there, because I think the government's been picking on him, and also I think he knows how to handle China and Russia. And and those things, and so that everybody has their opinion. But I hope he gets in. And another thing is, I'm 91 years old, and I was about 12 years old when my cousin went into the Navy, and this was the Second World War, and he got the Distinguished Flying Cross. He was a tail gunner, and. And I just remember, like you say, the patriotism back then was wonderful. And also, I wanted to say that my father was in the First World War, and he got a medal from France for his efforts fighting over there, hand to hand over there. And then it was stolen from where I live, and I am so. I never got over that. But anyway, that's mostly what I have to say. And I still have hope for this country. I still have hope.
Gosh, you sound just like my mom would say exactly the same thing. Your first thing on Trump, I agree with you. Not only did he know how to handle, say, other countries, but the... other countries were actually afraid of him. Oh, this guy, he's like, he's crazy. He could do this to us. And that's why when he left office and old Joe Biden gets in there, and how did they see Joe Biden as somebody they can walk over? I fervently believe Russia would not have attacked Ukraine with Trump in office. And now, what do we have now, Joan? We got like two or three wars going on that we're depleting our resources for. It is very upsetting. So that part of Trump, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
And also, the first thing he's going to do is close that border against illegal people coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Joan, I appreciate it. You're right. You don't sound like a John. You're definitely a Joan.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right, sweetie. Take care. Okay, we're going to take a break. Final segment is up next. You are more than welcome to call. Love to get to talk with you. 884-9910. Whatever it is that you want to say, do it here. It's all local and it's live. Live and local. The Weekend is the name of the show. Each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. On 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1140.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
John Potter, live and local, Saturday mornings, 9 to noon on these fine radio stations. Craig Moss is in Carson City running the buttons and the levers and things. And also, we've gotten a couple of, besides phone calls, a couple of texts to the same number, 775-884-9910. What did we get today, Craig?
Well, Renee texted and said that she remembers that her, I believe it was her father, did the baking soda and water.
Oh, for the
heartburn. Yep.
Yeah.
And then a text about when Sam was on with Dog Coach Academy. Getting a kick out of the idea of getting dogs to enjoy a pedicure. I'm picturing soft rock music, mimosas, and maybe cucumber slices over the eyelids.
Boy, I'll tell you, you're just reminding me of my everlasting battles with those darn three cats when it comes to nail clipping time, man. They put up the fiercest fight. I have the scars to prove it. Even the gentle the gentle one, the little lady, is just an... They're like wolves when you try to clip their nails.
You could put surveillance cameras in your house and turn it into a horror movie?
That's awful. It's just, the Satan takes over. All right. I got one more gripe today. This god-awful second step author verification, two-step verification that I was going to check my emails and Yahoo. Listen, I never signed up for two-step verification with Yahoo. They did it on their own. And so they say, what's it say here? Next time you sign in here, you won't be asked to complete the second step verification. Well, why are you asking me now? And it says it sent a text to my phone. Now, this has happened before. I never get that text. I never get it. And then I can't. I spend a day not getting into my email account. I hate two-step verification. That is why I don't have access to my KTVN John Potter Facebook page, is because it keeps sending, every time I try to sign on, it keeps sending the two-step verification text to my old work phone, which they confiscated. And they're not helping me get access to it again, for obvious reasons, I feel. Do you have any gripes today? We ought to have a grouch line set up. Craig, are you just all happy and everything? No gripes?
No gripes today. Weather's looking beautiful out there, son. And
The National Weather Service says we're going to be okay. We're going to be stuck with the cold air for the weekend, but spring comes back, I think, for its third go round here. Spring comes back Tuesday with a high of 66 for Reno. And then, Craig, the 70s for highs starting Wednesday. Wow, 76 on Thursday, above average this week. So how do you enjoy the outdoor weather?
I will believe that weather when I see it. Or feel it, as the case may be.
Oh, the old skepticism over the weatherman. I
yeah, the only job in the world where you can be right less than 50% of the time and still have a job.
Yes. Who's your favorite weatherman?
Well, it was you.
I'm not the weather.
Of course.
I haven't done the weather for, what, 15 years?
Right, but that's, still, yeah, that was, yeah.
People still say, oh, it's the weatherman, and it's starting to bug me. But who do you rely on? Who do you trust? The Channel 4 guy's been gone a long time. I hope he comes back.
I'm not so much. I don't watch TV. In fact, I think I said this on the air before that I've watched a total of about 2 minutes of commercial TV in the past year. I get my stuff. I do all my stuff online.
I forget that because I'm obsessed with TV. I have trouble trying to find out what shows to delete from my DVR, which already has like 200 hours of things that I just don't have time to watch. I gotta get through every single episode of the Beverly Hillbillies first, you know, and the Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and there's like 300 episodes of those shows. Gotta see them all.
Big for black and white. 280 some odd episodes of MASH for the 20th time.
What's great at my house is my wife was a doctor, and she never had time for TV. So me showing her these episodes of Alfred Hitchcock Presents and the Beverly Hillbillies, never seen these shows before. It's all new to her. Even the Twilight Zone. What? Twilight Zone? Huh?
Yeah, she's living in the Twilight Zone with you. That was a big sigh, John.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you. I'm a little slow usually, but I've been taking Restore, and now I can spot your comments more quickly. I want to pass on that movie recommendation again. Go see Arthur the King. I went to see it because I'm very partial to Mark Wahlberg movies. I think he does great movies, every single one. Arthur the King is my kind of movie. It's inspiring. It's a happy movie, and it'll make you cry, but it's a good cry. So go see Arthur the King. And like I said before, it takes a lot to get me in a movie theater because I notice things right off. Like if the picture is slightly out of focus, I can't concentrate on the movie. I just keep thinking that picture is out of focus. And of course, there's always something. And when I went to see Arthur the King, it wasn't loud enough. It was loud enough for everybody else in the theater. It's just me. I was missing some dialogue there. And I sat there the whole movie thinking, should I go out there and tell them and ask them to boost the volume? And that's all I did was think that. And it wouldn't have helped anyway, because there's only one lady running the entire building at this movie theater. You have to get your tickets at the refreshment stand where that lady is. There's no ticket booth anymore. All right, let's go to Joe calling from Sparks. Joe, I'm so glad you called. Welcome.
John, nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call. Another great show today. I didn't have a chance to call before. But anyway, he was wrong about the only job where you can be wrong 50% of the time. Actually, if you're president of the United States now, you can be wrong 100% of the time and keep your job.
Let me add this to the list.
You know, my dad was in World War II, and he's on his way, hits Hawaii. The war is over, and they knew, and somehow they had information on him that he spoke fluid Italian, and they used to send officers from Europe, Germans and Italians, to Hawaii to put him in prison, in prison camp there. So they had all these Italian officers. My dad spent another 10 months interpreting for the Army. I didn't meet him till I was 2 years old.
Yeah. I so regret not talking to my grandfather about the war. I wish he had written a book or something. But like I said earlier, these stories have to be told to your young people.
I'll try to call back next week and tell you a couple Army stories. But anyway, if you want to talk to somebody, you can talk to me. I'm a great-grandfather.
Are you really?
Yeah. He's 12 years old. He just turned 12. He's a dynamite hockey player. I just love him. He's a great kid. In fact, I got four. I got four great-grandchildren. Four great-grandchildren, yeah.
Sounds like a
See, now
great
you can
family.
Tell I'm a great-grandfather. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yes. Sounds like a great family, Joe. Where are you from, by the way, with your accent?
originally born in Chicago.
Okay.
Spent 21 years there, married 2 days, got a draft notice, ended up going to in the service in 1965.
Oh.
So I'm married just as long as
I judged you wrong. I thought you were a New Yorker. Like, I was born in New York and came to Reno in 77, I think. And I thought we had something going there. And I was thinking going to New York. They got me in this eclipse fever. And they say the best view of the eclipse is going to be Watertown, New York, one of my favorite towns to vacation around, by the Thousand Islands, Fort Drum. Great town. Anyway,
I was thinking of going to New York City, but my bulletproof vest is in the cleaners.
Yeah, okay.
So,
all right. Take it to San Francisco.
Nice.
I appreciate
nothing to do with San Francisco.
I don't either.
I spent 40 years in Roseville, and I escaped one night. It got dark, and I escaped.
Oh, my goodness.
And all I ain't going back. Been here 10 years. Love it.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for the call. Appreciate it. That's one thing I do have to confess that I really miss, is going to San Francisco. I loved going to San Francisco. I would always stay at the Sir Francis Drake Hotel right there opposite the Big Macy's. And great hotel, great city. And everything I loved about that city is gone now. I mean, literally gone. It's like half of Union Square has been closed because the retail environment is so terrible in San Francisco. Oh, and the big, huge Trader Joe's out by the wharf. I'd go running under the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. They have a path where you can run to the Presidio and back through Haight-Ashbury, and I miss it. I really do, but it's not the same anymore. What is the same anymore, really? I'm John Potter. It's been my pleasure to come here and talk with you all. I'll be back next Saturday, if Jerry agrees, next Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.